Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hello? Limits? Bob? Anybody home?
Joe? Good morning, Joe.
I have a feeling Limits is trying to sabotage my role on this show, Bob.
How so?
He's a very ambitious young man.
Although he is ambitious.
We are going to the Duquesne women's basketball game tonight, myself and Limits. Did you know that, Bob?
No, you're going to... Are you watching? Going to somehow figure a way to get a halftime show or do something?
I think we're going to be there for the pregame speech. We're going to be sitting right down on the court, as far as I know.
This is going to be awesome. I haven't been given that many details, but I know Joe has a couple of tricks and surprises up his sleeve from what I've been told.
It's increnculent, Bob. Did you see where the Pitt women's team came back from like 32 points the other day?
28-0 run. It was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen a third quarter of any sort like that. Where that team, SMU, I think, had a big lead, and they shot bricks the whole third quarter. 0 points, or I think it was, for the...
32 points, or 31. Now I can't remember.
I think it's 32, and they won by 13.
Yeah. How does that happen?
It's a miracle. Misses a lot of shots.
Speaking of women's basketball, I opened up my day with an absolute tearjerker, Limits and Bob. How are you both, by the way? Good? Are you okay, Limits?
I'm doing pretty well.
You look great.
Thank you. You do as well.
His hair looks good, doesn't it, Bob?
Yeah.
Not as much today as it has in previous days.
As it normally is, but it's fine.
It's a little understated today.
Yeah.
I see the look you're going for.
You know, sometimes it just needs a day where it can't be as professional as it likes to look.
Bob, you have a wonderful hat on. What is that? Cleveland?
Cleveland Golf.
What does that mean? Is that a brand?
The Strixon company pretty much controls a lot of what goes on, and by different companies. Cleveland they have wedges, some of the best wedges in the game.
Huh.
And so they make wedges. You don't
have
know
you
this?
Been watching the simulated golf thing with Tiger and all that? Do you
bit.
Like it?
I didn't see a lot last night, although I saw Tiger hit one in the water, the fake water.
I wish the fake water was there for me, too, instead of the real water all the time.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting, and I don't know how long it's going to command people's attention, but I think it's pretty interesting, especially this time of the year.
Well, the tearjerker was this. You know, you open up your phone in the morning. It's what we all do because we're all phone addicts, correct? It's like getting up and smoking a cigarette before you even say hello to anybody or start your day. You know what I mean? We're all phone addicts. Do you guys, how soon after you wake up do you open your phone? That's the opening question today. Be honest about it. I'm within 5 minutes, sadly. Limits?
Within 5 minutes because usually I wake up with my alarm going off. It's about half the time I wake up before, half the time the alarm goes off. And if the alarm goes off, you have to turn it off. And then I typically look at my phone right after.
So before you even take your morning pee, you're checking your phone.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I'm not judging you for that. What do you check first?
Notifications that I have that'll pop up on the homepage.
Bob, be honest. How soon after you wake up?
And I'll tell you why, Joe. My phone is off the entire night.
Yeah.
I've done that for health reasons. I really have.
You need your sleep.
Just that, and I don't want to be, there are a lot of things that go on as you get older, and you just got to, those take priority. So I've never used to do that. Now I do it. I shut it off. When I get up, I first make coffee. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I sit around, talk to my wife a little bit.
Mm.
And within 15 minutes, though, I do turn it on, and mostly to say hello to my kids and people that, you know, in the family. That's, and then it progresses from there. The nice thing about being in here is I don't have to use that thing. And it could just be, although this computer currently doesn't work, Austin. So I'm kind of, maybe
I'll reset it in the back.
The mic didn't work for me, and the computer doesn't work for you. That's what I'm talking about here, Bob. But what I came across was the same thing as limits, my notifications. And I saw the story from TCU, women's basketball, 10th ranked in the country right now. Very good team. Last year, they had a team where a bunch of kids, I don't know, they got hurt, sick, quit. Something happened where they literally needed walk-ons, women from the general population there at school to join their team just to field a team. So four of them did, and they're the TCU Horned Frogs, right? So they called these four women the Under Frogs because they joined the team and helped them. One of them stayed with the team this year, Bob. One of them hung on and stayed. Her name is Ella Hamlin, and last night was the one-year anniversary of her joining the team last year. So they go to the locker room last night. They beat the same team they beat last year in her first game. And the coach, Mark Campbell, is saying how much that means to him that her and these other women saved their team last year. And then as the exclamation point on his little speech, he said, and by the way, you are now on full scholarship.
Oh, I love those videos. Oh, that's awesome.
Bob, the locker room erupted. Everybody runs over to her. They lifted her up. She's crying. Come on. You start the day like that. She's going there for nursing, which is $82,000 a year at TCU, and now she's on full scholarship. It was a great way to start the day. I immediately sent it to my wife and daughter.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. I love when I see those videos. Those are equally as impressive and emotional as when the military guy or woman comes home, surprises the family. Those are also very good. So, yeah, that's great to see, and it goes to show you about hard work. If you're willing to just do it, work hard, don't say much, do your thing, good things can happen to you.
Well, that brings us to George Pickens, which is
it's a layup.
I was going to start the show anyway. Yes, I'm going to be trying in the days ahead to stay away from the Steelers as long as possible at the beginning of the show, but they're the story. And actually, I'm not going to start with Pickens. I'm going to start with the quarterback situation. And here's my question. I think Albert Breer had a report to the effect of, you know, they're very interested in keeping Fields. We know this. We had the Mike Tomlin quote from yesterday where he was rather effusive on what if it came to Justin Fields. It's very similar to last year, Bob.
Yeah, when he said the answer's in the room.
Where it's two guys living up to the old adage, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Are they going to give one of those guys a chance? Will both be back or will neither be back? So I want some very simple answers to start with you guys. One word, okay? And then we'll dive into a conversation. I have this very structured, and I want you both to follow the rules, unlike Mike DeFabo yesterday, who was unable to make it through a game of free association without elaborating on everything.
Does he get somewhat of a pass because it was his first free association?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he was fired up, though, because he had a story out there that resonated. So I'm sure he was
pumped
up. It's a
good point, yeah. I don't blame Mike for that. I just want you guys to follow the rules.
We'll do.
Okay. Is there a better chance that both will be back, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields? One of them will be back or none of them will be back. Neither of them, I should say. If you had to bet on one of those three scenarios, everything you own, which one would you bet on?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't say that, everything you own.
Bob, it's a hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical, Bob.
One
of them will be back.
One of them will be back.
One of them will be back.
You said one word. You just said one of them will be back.
Next, is that one going to be Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
Fields.
Justin Fields.
That's two words.
It's one name.
Fields. I agree. I'm glad that we've established that. Now, if you had to choose between Fields or some other person being the starter next season, whether it's a free agent, someone who comes along in a trade, or even a draft pick, would you bet on Fields or another person being the Steelers starter next
Fields.
Season?
Fields.
Fields.
I think we're all in the same spot here. One more question. If it were up to you, would you be settled on Fields or would you be moving mountains to try and find somebody better? Bob, settled or mountains?
Mountains.
Mountains, question mark.
Mountains. Having said that, as I said, when you look at the free agent class, it's a disaster. Limits, could you call up the free agent class, please? I believe it's headlined by Kirk Cousins and Aaron. I don't think Aaron Rodgers you'd have to trade for. Maybe Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but
I guess Sam Darnold, by hook or by crook, is the most attractive name out there. And he's not. I don't want Sam Darnold. I'd rather have Justin Fields. You?
Yes, and that's nothing. I think Sam Darnold had a heck of a season. But I also think that in a system that's not as quarterback friendly as Kevin O'Connell, although I thought he got outcoached the other night, I thought that that could prop up any young quarterback. And his scheming of, and of course he has two outstanding wide receivers, he has all the things necessary for a quarterback to succeed. Having said that, if it's not in that sort of a system, then I have a concern about Sam Darnold because I've seen him in four other places, I think. So, yeah, now I'm going to pass on Sam Darnold.
Me too. Give us some other names, O Limitless Wonder, and we'll say, you know, interested or no thank you.
Could I interest you in a midseason cut, Daniel Jones?
Not interested.
Given what's out there?
Not interested.
I have mild interest.
Really?
I have mild interest in Daniel Jones. I do. I'm not sure that Justin Fields is better than Daniel Jones.
He'll be the backup to J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota.
Next.
Mac Jones.
Pass.
Pass.
Jameis Winston.
Pass.
Marcus Mariota. Pass. Andy Dalton.
Hold on. Pass. Hold on with Mariota.
Pass.
We're talking about these guys in terms of
starting or competing with Fields.
Competing with Fields. I mean, they're going to need another guy in here.
That's a different conversation. I thought you were talking from a starting point of view. Who would you rather
have? If you're competing with Fields, you have a chance to start. But I hear what you're saying. This guy is a starter. Of course not. Marcus Mariota. No. God, no.
Andy?
No. No.
Jacoby
no.
Brissett.
No.
Although I like him as a
backup.
Backup, yeah, or a competitor.
What about
competitor?
This guy.
Competition. Is he out there?
It's the
Rudolph train.
There was Rudolph.
Oh, there was a little twist there.
Oh yeah.
No.
What about bringing back Mason? No, thank you.
I mean, he's going to want to start, and I just think that
where's he going to get any team to tell him he's starting?
I don't know. I know he wants to start.
Well, good for him. So do I. It doesn't mean I'll get a job.
Right. May I interject something here,
please,
before you go on?
Yes.
This whole problem has, to me, the roots of it go all the way back to Ben still playing here. Any organization that knows your Hall of Fame quarterback is coming to an end has to have a succession plan. They have to have something in place that, work or not, is at least a plan. I don't think the Steelers really had much of a plan moving forward. They drafted Mason Rudolph, yes. Maybe that was their plan. But they had other opportunities to do other things, I think, knowing that this end date was going to come. Since they really didn't, and I'll use the example of Jalen Hurts was available in the second round. The only reason I bring that up is they chose Chase Claypool in that same draft ahead of him. If you really felt that you needed to begin a plan – And I could have said this with any number of people, I guess, who came along. I just didn't see much of a plan.
Yeah.
And so what happens when you don't have much of a plan is you start chasing. And what happened immediately? Well, they brought in Mitch Trubisky. They drafted Kenny Pickett. Then they had three quarterbacks. Then they had no quarterbacks. Then they had three more quarterbacks. And they're good chance they're going to have maybe just one, maybe none. Again, you cycle and keep going. And it gets really difficult to find, especially where they draft. So part of my explanation for Justin Fields is I want to either find out or sink to a point where I can get a good guy.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
And so I'm gonna invest in him, and I'm hopeful that he could reach a different ceiling. I think he can, under the right leadership, you know, and offensive game plan and that sort of thing. Plus, it's cheaper.
Is there the right leadership offensively in place to develop a quarterback
if Arthur
here? I don't
Smith
think so.
Leaves, you know, I don't know. There's all this hot rumor he's going to the Jets. I don't know.
But let's talk about this then, Bob, because that is interesting what you brought up. The teams that have succeeded in replacing a great, great quarterback
had a vision.
Well, they had a vision, and there was some combination of luck and skill.
Well, there's always luck.
Right? That would be Green Bay, who did it twice. They drafted Aaron Rodgers. He sat and watched Favre. Right. They drafted Jordan Love. He sat and watched Rodgers.
They had a plan.
That's one. That's one of one. How many others can you think of?
I would tell you that Denver had a plan, and Sean Payton knew exactly what it was. I'm getting rid of Russell Wilson because I have a plan. Down the road, I read accounts where he was high on Bo Nix before it ever came to him drafting him. And he knew that he wasn't going to be, based on the numbers, unless someone surprised him, that he would be on the board when they took.
I mean, their plan was to draft a quarterback, and be bad. So they got, what was Nix, the 10th pick in the
12th,
draft? 12. Okay, so they had top 12 pick.
Well, I'm saying you need to get into the top 10, top 15 minimum.
Probably, although Tomlin poo-pooed that yesterday by saying, look at where Lamar and Hurts were drafted. But my point there is it's highly unusual for a team to have a plan, have that much vision ahead of time, piss everybody off, including the incumbent, by taking a quarterback, and then have him develop into a really good player who replaces your good player. Denver hasn't won a playoff game in longer than the Steelers.
Yeah, would you bet they're in better positioning?
Well, they are, but they drafted in the top 12, and they brought in an offensive-minded coach. That's different than the category I'm talking about, which is having a plan to replace a really good quarterback. They didn't. They sucked for years, and now they finally have taken the right guy. Good for them. So if that's a plan, then okay. Then the Steelers can fail for the next 10
years. What I'm saying is, even in their position with Roethlisberger, you had to know it was going to come to an end. If the end was Mason Rudolph, they didn't treat it as if it was Mason Rudolph because they ignored him.
Well, what did you want them to do? They had Ben.
Well, how about if they had somebody better in that position who they waited just like what you saw in Green Bay twice? How about if they had a guy who they brought in and they knew that we really have a decent shot? What I'm saying to you is maneuver in the first round potentially earlier. Trade up and draft somebody.
I wonder how we all would have reacted to that.
I'm just saying.
I know. But with Ben in his prime, I'm wondering how we all would have reacted if they maneuvered in the first round to draft a quarterback and have him sit on the bench. Ben ripped them for taking Mason Rudolph in the third round.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't comfortable with what they did.
No, that's one.
Can't worry about that.
I know.
You have a business to run.
My point is, where's the other team that had that kind of vision and was willing to do that? Who's the other
team? I'd have
to
look back in history. All I'm saying to you is that I thought that at the time, and I never thought it would get to this rotating, revolving door of quarterbacks. I thought somehow along the way, and maybe it was with the Kenny Pickett pick, I mean, that to me was a little bit of a strange pick, given where they drafted and that he was still available.
Right, they've been reaching. You're right. I mean, it would have been ideal for them to draft Lamar Jackson in 18?
But it's the same year as Mason. Same year Mason was drafted.
That would have been ideal. They got Terrell Edmonds. Yeah, it's easy to say they should have taken Lamar and had him ride the bench for 3 years and then put Ben in.
I'm looking back.
Maybe you're right.
But
maybe
I'm saying somehow, some way, they needed some sort of strategy. And when you don't have it, and when your number one pick turns out not to be good, or at least not here. Now you're in this cycle.
For sure.
I don't know when the cycle ends.
I just think it's easy to look back and say they should have done what the Packers did when Ben was in his prime.
I didn't say it was fading a little bit. Easy. I'm saying they did it for that reason. And I think if you're in a position like Green Bay was, they picked Jordan Love in 30th pick.
Yeah.
Okay, but they said, even though they had needs at wide receiver and other things, they said,
well,
we
they
like
said
him.
They had a first round grade on Mason.
They said that.
That's what they said.
They said that.
That he was clearly drafted to be Ben's eventual replacement.
Can they miss then? Why then, if he was drafted to be the replacement, why didn't he immediately become that guy? Why did they have to go out and get everybody and then make it an open competition? And then they bring in and they draft another quarterback.
Because over the course of time, while he was here and when he did get his chances, he didn't do so well, Bob, if you recall. It became
he did
clear.
Well enough to win some games. He got had a mangled year where he got his head cut off.
He
almost
got replaced by Duck Hodges.
I understand that. But my point to you is, all right, it doesn't matter what the point is. My point is that they should have had, in my view, a better kind of strategy moving forward. That's all. And when you don't have it, and when this happens – and you miss on draft picks, then you're in this
for sure.
Could be never-ending cycle of trying to find your next quarterback.
For sure.
And so
they're in it.
That's why I presume I would rather have Justin Fields. He's 25, going to be 26. He's a very athletic guy. You heard him yesterday talk about mobility. Again, there's a guy right here, very mobile. Teach him how to work in the pocket. Teach him how to make better decisions. Teach him.
I think guys have a pocket presence or they don't for the most
part.
He
had games in Chicago where he had four touchdown passes and looked brilliant throwing the ball down the
Mariota's
field.
Marcus Mariota's had great games too.
All right. Your option is what then?
My option might be Justin Fields and then go to an all-run game. They don't have an option right now. That's my point.
There's nothing
in free agency, nothing in the draft, it would appear. Unless you're going to draft a project. But let me still go back here because I mean this as a point of interest and conversation, not necessarily as a point of contention. What would you have done? And if you want to jump in here, Limits, what would, if we could go back in time and give the Steelers a plan that they could have followed, I guess drafting Lamar would have been the best
thing.
Well,
they had to have known his talent. They talk about mobility. Nobody has more of it than he does. And he had a pretty good career. At Louisville. He was one of those guys who was terrific at what he did, I thought.
Yeah, but not good enough for anybody to take a chance in the top 30.
That doesn't make it so. How many guys miss on draft picks? How many teams miss every year on draft picks? You have a scouting department, you have all this stuff at your hands. If you're going to draft a quarterback, which they eventually did in that same draft,
yeah,
why not him? The same people who look at Brock Purdy and say, how did he go all the way to the end? How did that happen? The Mr. Irrelevant, and somehow he was unearthed as this tremendous quarterback, or at least somebody who was a starter and took him to a...
They and 28 other teams probably could have and should have drafted Lamar.
I get it. Now, what I'm saying
no,
is...
I'm being serious about that. You know, teams that needed a quarterback and teams that were looking at a future quarterback should have drafted Lamar. Give me another plan that they could have done. A lot of people talk about...
I'd have to look back at all their picks.
If you don't make the Minka trade, then you probably fall apart
that
year.
That's a good point, don't you think?
And you might be able to pick Justin Herbert, although nobody's high on him at the moment. But still, he'd be a radical upgrade on what they have, I think. Anything else? Any other scenarios from back then?
I did not want them to trade for Minka at the time. I'm glad that they did. Now it's questionable, but I was in the same boat thinking, look, there's three really good quarterbacks coming into this class. We didn't know about Burrow at the time, but he was available. Herbert ended up going right in that midst, and same thing with Tua. They more than likely would have had a top 10 pick, maybe would have been able to trade up a little bit. And I mean, if we just want to look recently, how they did not think that trading up for a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix made sense after you reassess your quarterback position and moved off Kenny Pickett is just beyond me.
I mean, they thought Russell Wilson could do the job, and for a while he did.
Yeah, but you got to go younger. You have to go young, high upside players. And
I don't blame them at all for what they did this past offseason. I give them credit.
They decided, swung for the fences.
Yeah, they knew they had to do something. I don't think anyone at the beginning of this whole process would have thought both of those guys would be here. Especially at the price that they were paying for their quarterback. And they tried to maximize that and take advantage at least for 1 year. And they couldn't. So now they're back in the same boat.
So I look across the league at when you have a really good quarterback or even a great legendary one. Buffalo. It took them 20 years almost to replace Jim Kelly, and they got Josh Allen. Miami's still looking to replace Marino. New England's still looking to replace Brady, although it looks like they might have a guy in Drake May,
maybe.
Right? Maybe. Baltimore had Flacco, who was good. They replaced him with Lamar. They made a great pick. Other teams who have had great, Indianapolis, they had Peyton Manning. They had to have him be
Andrew
hurt.
Andrew Luck.
They had to have him be hurt and go 1-15 to get Andrew Luck.
And then
that's the way to do
and
it.
And then when Andrew Luck left, what has happened there?
Right. They did nothing.
Nothing. Recycle.
Right.
Draft pick fail. Recycle. Going to keep going.
They didn't have a plan for replacing Peyton. They got lucky. He got hurt. I hate to say that, but that's what happened. And they haven't replaced him since. Other great quarterbacks, Elway. Did Denver ever replace him? I don't think
Peyton
so.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
They brought in,
that's right. They brought in an expensive free agent. And
it worked.
Peyton Manning replaced him. You're right. And it worked. They won a Super Bowl, and they were really good for a bunch of years. I mean, I was talking mostly through this, you know, advanced planning through the draft thing, but that was still a while after Elway left. Who else, Bob? Who else can we go through?
If you're going to go down, just go through now New Orleans after Drew Brees. They've tried. You know, they brought in Carr. I don't know what they're going to do moving forward.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that they have big answers down there.
Seahawks with Russell, you know.
Geno Smith is okay. Yeah, but he's, you know.
The 49ers, you know, they had Montana and Young. And as I recall, it took many years to replace them, right?
And they also, they drafted third overall Trey Lance. In the same draft, they end up with Brock Purdy.
But by your theory, you would give them credit for taking Trey Lance, not necessarily for that pick.
No, I would,
but,
yes.
But for having the foresight to do that.
I would do it only because of what I'm talking about. You got to figure out things ahead of time. If not, especially in this important position, if you don't have one, it's very clear right now, if you don't have a good quarterback, chances are very, very unlikely you're going to end up going anywhere deep into the playoffs.
I guess
there are exceptions to that, but generally speaking.
Yeah. My last point on that would be, as you go through the league, I'm not sure I'm of a mind to rip the Steelers for not having a long-term succession plan years before Ben left, because nobody does. Almost nobody does. But if you want to criticize them for that, I guess it's fair game.
I'm only stating it because I think looking back, there were opportunities to shorten this gap. That's all I'm saying. And they could have done it.
I mean, they took a guy with the 20th overall pick.
I know, but they passed on a guy like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And I remember conversations at the time. People had doubts. Well, people had doubts about Marino, which made him last until the end. Sometimes you have to just say, look, mobility check mark. Does he have the ability from the pocket? Not known yet, but we could work with him. And look what's happened.
With who?
Lamar. I mean, he's turned
into... Yeah. I mean, he's a special guy.
I know, but he was available.
He was.
You know, the guys that were taken right after that Minka pick? The pick right before was CeeDee Lamb. Jerry Jeudy also right before. After Brandon Ayuk, Jordan Love, Patrick Queen. How about that?
I mean, okay, but essentially the Steelers drafted Minka in that year.
They could have taken Jordan Love. Was basically my point of that.
Yeah, could have taken
And let
Jordan
me tell you
Love.
Something.
But Minka turned into a pretty damn good player.
And if he had just continued that trend of being that sort of guy, a disruptor, an interceptor, guys who make big play, you wouldn't have had a problem with that. It's only now because it seems like for the last couple of years that hasn't been what we've seen. So
combined with no quarterback. So here's what I would put out to everybody out there. Let's talk about Justin Fields. We're going to hear from Tomlin, what he said yesterday. I feel like, Bob, there's a strong suspicion amongst football people that Justin Fields is going to be the guy next year for a variety of reasons. Kabali had said there was some friction between Artie and Russell Wilson. Had you heard that?
I haven't heard that at all, no. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Mark's integrated over there, so he has pretty good sources.
It just feels like it's the end for Russ, and it feels like, and the reporting is from people like Albert Breer, that it's going to be Justin Fields next year. And the other reason for that is, who else you got? You know, I'm not thrilled with it, I can tell you that, but how do you feel out there about the prospect of Justin Fields leading the Steelers next season?